Turning to Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Now, as we read this together, keep in mind that the title of the sermon today is Keep Working on Love. Matthew 3, 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "You know, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Well, perhaps you're sitting there wondering, what in the world does this scripture have to do with the title, Keep Working on Love? We know that there are lots of other scriptures that talk specifically about love. Why pick this one, preacher? Well, I think the only thing that I can say in my defense is that I picked this for the bigger picture, and that I chose this scripture so that we could have something to talk about in weeks to come. We don't know much about Jesus before he was baptized. And we know that his ministry didn't start until after he was baptized. Now, the bigger picture I'll be talking about for the next few weeks is what does God ask of us today? What does God ask of us today? Well, today we are to keep working on love. There's an amusing story about a woman who one day decided to get religion and read the New Testament and investigate the claims of Christianity. Several months later, she was baptized, and immediately following that ritual, she said enthusiastically, "I could feel the Holy Spirit immediately come upon me. I'm glad I've finally gotten religion. I can see things differently," she says. Now, including that uncle of mine, I see him completely different. I've hated him with a passion, and once I vowed I would never go to his funeral. But now, I'll be glad to go any time. She got religion, but not a closer walk with Christ, I think. The church was founded in this sacrament of baptism. At the point of Jesus' baptism, he's about 30 years old, and we know very little about him. Oh, we know that at the age of 12, he appeared for a brief flash in the temple for what today would be a bar mitzvah, I suppose. And it's 18 years later when he again appears at the River Jordan, where John is baptizing and preaching about the kingdom. And Jesus says to John, in effect, "Here I am. Baptize me. I want to be a part of this. I want to work at bringing about this kingdom." And in the most dramatic way, God uses the event to call Jesus, to guide him, to lead him into his public ministry. The gospel writers speak of the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove and a voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son. My favor rests on him." The scenario is impressive, but it doesn't end there. Equally impressive is the realization of the tremendous experience that took place within the person of Jesus. God is calling him into his public ministry, and Jesus is answering, "Yes, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me." God is guiding him toward complete fulfillment of his Father's mission, and Jesus is following that guidance. This is so important an event in Jesus' life that many theologians insist that the rest of the gospel is simply a living out of what happened here at the baptism. And so it ought to be in our lives as well. Endless sermons can be preached on what this meant to Jesus. But we need to know now what it means to us. In this experience, Jesus' baptism, we see that God does call us, and God does lead us, and God does guide us. And I'm talking about us, you, right here, right now. This moment, there is an influence in your life coming from God himself. God is seeking to guide you into the fullness of life. Michael Pluppen writes that in developing the telephone for general use, his most serious problem was eliminating the sounds of the earth. When these noises were heard over the telephone, it was difficult for one to distinguish the human voices from that white noise. On a higher level, this is precisely our problem today. Earth drowns out heaven's message. We must eliminate the confusing clamor of the world long enough to be able to hear what God has to say. And in this way alone can we learn how to receive divine direction, God's guidance, and use God's grace. Oh, you know, God's guidance comes in an infinite variety of ways, and at always just the right time and in just the right way for each one of us. Jesus apparently needed to receive the guidance in this most dramatic way at his baptism. You see, Jesus was so human that he needed this experience. But we read of many other times in his life when the guidance came to him gently and quietly. And so it is with us. Sometimes the very heavens seem to open up and God reaches down and takes hold of us and slaps us in the face so hard it knocks us down to our knees before we can look up and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to repent." Sometimes God takes hold of us and shakes us to get us on the right path. But that doesn't happen very often. Mostly, I think he comes gently and quietly. Donna and I, for many years, discussed the calling that I felt God had on my life. For most of those years, the conversation would come up quite abruptly. Something would happen in the day, or I would have just finished helping someone in some special way, And that night, as we sat before the television, I would just blurt out, "You know, I need to go into the ministry." And then we'd sit around and talk about it in front of the television long enough to come up with enough excuses to talk ourselves out of it. Talk ourselves out of making that kind of a commitment for our lives. But you know what? When God finally decided that it was time, when he decided that the preparations were complete, that there were no more excuses, he came to me in the quiet of the evening. I was alone in our brand new house in Italy. Donna was back in the States on business. I was reading a book and listening to a gorgeous piece of music. And I began to be aware that God was tapping me on the shoulder. He did get my attention, and we talked for most of the night. And when I finally went to bed and to sleep, I knew that I could avoid his call no longer. God's guidance may sometimes take us by surprise. Usually it comes to those who are seeking it. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing by submitting to the ritual of baptism. John protests. He says, "I should be doing this to you, and yet you come to me?" Jesus answers, "Give in for now, John. We got to do it this way to fulfill all of God's demands." He's telling John that his only purpose is to identify with God, to seek his guidance. Oh, and to follow it. To our own great misfortune, we expend too little effort, I think, in seeking God's guidance. There are those who are unwilling to spend time being alone. Quiet time during which they can reflect seriously on who they are and whose they are and why they are doing what they're doing and what they ought to be doing. There are those who not only don't take time to seek God's guidance, but we don't want God's guidance. They want to have it their way. They want their wills to prevail over God's. And there are those who go through the motions of praying for God's guidance, and because they don't really want it, their prayers are non-prayers. Non-prayers are prayed by giving God a lot of information that you somehow imagine that he doesn't already have, and then telling him what to do with it. Non-prayers. Prayer is being open to God. What does God want for me? What does God want from me? Prayer is seeking guidance from God. Non-prayer is giving guidance to God. Non-prayer often reaches the point of total absurdity as the Sunday morning congregation in that old rural church made up of those who were praying for God to give them rain for the crops that they needed so badly, and then on the other side were those praying for God for fair weather for the outdoor church bazaar. God's guidance always leads us in a ministry of love, hear this, for others. A ministry of love for other people. That is, if we're open to it. It is after the baptism event in which Jesus seeks the Father's guidance that Jesus' ministry begins to unfold. And now increasingly we see him as the man for others. And so it is with each of us. Inevitably, when God's guidance comes through to us, we discover that we have been opened outward. We discover that more and deeper loving is possible. When God's guidance comes to us, we discover a new sensitivity toward the world around us and the people in it. A father came home from a very hard day at work, and he said to his wife, "I've had a terrible day. Please, if you have any bad news, keep it to yourself." She said, "Yes, dear. No bad news. Now for the good news. Remember our four children? Well, three of them don't have a broken arm today." That's our problem many times in seeking God's guidance. We don't really want to hear him tell us what it's really like. And we literally close ourselves off to the guidance that we need to live and love in the most fulfilling way possible. It's beautiful to see the ministry of Jesus unfold from the moment of his baptism. From then on, we see not only his ministry, but a prayer life that keeps him in touch with God. A prayer life that provides opportunity for rest and refreshment, and a prayer life that lets him hear and then respond to God's guidance. The clear guidance, the call that comes, the confirmation, and then the ministry of love. Now, wherever you are at this moment, whatever problems are bearing down on you, there is guidance for you. God is trying to tell you. God is calling you. There is for you the kind of guidance that will lead you to discover who you really are and whose you really are, the kind of guidance that will teach you how to live and love in a new kind of way. It was a very foggy night off the coast of Maine. Two beautiful sailing sloops were making their way, hopefully, into Cape Porpoise Harbor for safety. Now, the first of the boats was manned by two experienced, seasoned sailors. And the second boat, following close behind so as not to get lost and get in trouble, was a honeymoon couple who had worked for 2 years outfitting the boat that they were on. Now, the first boat took a wrong turn in the fog. The second boat followed right along. In a matter of minutes, they were both on the rocks of Folly Island. Both boats were smashed to bits, but fortunately, none of the four were hurt. A few days later, in perfectly clear weather, an oil tanker steamed into the bay and took on a harbor pilot, a man who supposed to know his business. And the pilot immediately guided the ship onto the rocks. 100,000 gallons of crude oil spilled out, killing the wildlife and polluting hundreds of miles of the Maine coast. Think about this experience that these two had. Experienced, competent, well-intentioned people led other people right up onto the rocks. How often is it that with the best of intentions, we give advice to our children, to our friends, and lead them right onto the rocks? Even when we turn to our doctors or lawyers or clergy people for the necessary guidance that they have for us, we have no absolute guarantee that they're not going to lead us up on the rocks. And the incredible thing about this is that in the midst of all the pressures of this complex society, in the midst of all the decisions that we have to make day in and day out, in the midst of giving advice to others and receiving advice from others, we will sometimes overlook the best guidance we will ever get. It's the most reliable. It's ever present. And it never never leads us up onto the rocks. The Lord Almighty Himself, He who created us and sustains us, will guide us unerringly into the way of a wholeness of life. In the Jonathan Livingston Seagull story, an old teacher named Chang greatly influences Jonathan's life. When Chang is about to leave, Jonathan forever says it all in five words. Jonathan, keep working on love. God's guidance is what makes it possible for us to find our own special corner of the sky. God's guidance is what makes it possible for us to keep working on love. We as Christians need to be in tune to God's guidance. Find time to be quiet, and we can hear what He has for us to do. What does God ask of us this day? Today we are to keep working on love. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for being there to guide us. Help us in this week ahead to make time to be still, that we might be able to tune into Your direction. Oh, You never lead us onto the rocks, but You are always there to help us when we find ourselves shipwrecked. So help us keep working on love. Amen.